I want you to imagine for a second what a worship service without music would be like. Being a little bit weird, right? Kind of like, okay, we just go right into the word and that's it for the day. Now, the reason I say that is because when I was younger, if I would have been called to a pastor, I probably would have had a church with no music. Okay? The reason for that is I hated music, all music. There was no music that sounded good to me until I was in about 10th grade. So the reason for that is, I know my dad's probably watching right now, I'm going to blame him for this, that there were three kinds of music that my parents would listen to. The first one was very hokey Christian music. Okay, it was always the same channel on the radio. The second one, for all of you country people, I still hate country music to today, but that was the second thing that they would always listen to. And the third thing was, for some reason, my dad really liked Mark Anthony and Enrique Iglesias. So he was always playing them all the time in the car. So this is my introduction to music and all that I ever got to listen to. So I'm sorry if you like any of those things, but I did not, and I hated music. I judged all music, all of the stuff that I thought was bad. But the funny thing is, you know, I may have had a perspective of music, but it was a false perspective. I didn't experience the good stuff until I met my friend Sam in high school, who introduced me to some a little bit more upbeat music, contemporary Christian music, that kind of stuff that I was like, okay, I can get into this. I can really enjoy this. And now, if you look at my playlist on my computer, I have probably close to 7,000 songs. So, yes, I have changed the way that I feel about music. But the reason that I talk about this is because the world has a specific perspective of Christians. That the world will look at Christians and maybe judge all Christians off of a bad experience that they've had. That they look at Christians because of that one person that maybe turned them off to Jesus, or that one time that they went to a church and they're like, no, this is just not for me. And it's crazy to think that I hated all music because of what I had heard. But then when I found out that there was more to it, that there was stuff that, you know, spoke to me, there was stuff that made me want to move and dance and all of those kind of things, you know, it changed the way that I saw it. But yet there's always going to be judgments that we as Christians will get because of off of an experience. But the question I want to ask you this morning is, who has the right to judge you? Who has the right? It's so easy that we can go throughout life and there's many people that are going to judge us by the way we look, by the way we dress, by the way we talk. There's just going to be judgments about us. There's going to be judgments from the moment that we say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus. But as we are getting into Corinthians this morning, I want to jump back one verse into chapter 3, but we're going to spend most of the time in chapter 4 today. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 23 into verse 4:1 says, "And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So, before you allow any judgments to shape you or to mold you, I want you to understand you belong to Jesus. If you have accepted and believe that Jesus saved your life, you have committed your life to Him, and you believe that He was born of the Virgin Mary, that He died on the cross, and that He raised from the dead, lived a sinless life, you belong to Jesus. Let that sink in. And the fact that God will claim you as His own despite everything that you've done, despite everything that I've done, He still calls me His own. We belong to the God of the universe. We belong to the Most High. God created us to be in relationship with Him. God wants to be in a constant relationship with each and every one of us in this room. He desires to have a relationship with you. And we are called to help others find that relationship that He desires to have with everyone. Do you recognize that? That God desires to have a relationship with every single person that He has ever created. God wants to have that relationship. God wants to connect with everyone. God wants everyone to know how much He loves them. God wants everyone to know that there is forgiveness of their sins. God wants them to know that He is there for them in the highs and the lows of life. And there are a lot of people that don't know that. As Christians, we are stewards, we are agents, we are operatives of the gospel. You know, I always think about those agent movies and stuff. It's like how they go in there and they're making sure that they do everything that they can to complete the mission. You think about James Bond. I mean, all of the stuff that James Bond has been through throughout the many decades that he's been around, some pretty crazy stuff, but he always makes sure at the end that he completes the mission. What would it be like if we as Christians did the same thing, that we do whatever it takes to be that agent of change, to be that operative, to get out there and make a difference in this world? What if we took it serious? What if we went out there and we made sure that the mission was complete, because every person that we talked to, we helped them to know or point them to Jesus? We are the stewards of God's, or the mysteries of God, and that means that we hold in, we know the message of Jesus, we know the power of forgiveness, we know the power of His love, and we are stewards of that, and it is our job to share that. Verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." We are called to be faithful in the mission of Christ. We are called as Christians to be faithful in knowing what we know and not just be keeping it inside. This is what Tyler talked about last week, right? With wisdom. That we can gain all of the wisdom in the world, but if we never gain the idea of insight to get out there into the world and begin to share the gospel, we are just hoarding it. We are just bloated Christians. The reason that we come here to church is to learn, to grow together, so that way we can go back out there into the world to begin to share the wisdom and the knowledge that we get from the Word of God. If you're coming just to continue to feed yourself, you're missing the point. That's what it means to be a faithful steward of God, the mysteries of God. You know, we can look at the parable of the 10 talents. I'm just going to talk about it, but it's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, where there was this guy that he gave out some money to his disciples or to his workers and said, "Here, I'm going to give this one a couple. I'm going to give this one a couple. I'm going to give this one one." And the first one, he goes out, he had the most, and he went out there and he began to double the amount of talents that he would have been giving. He went out there and he worked for it. The second one went out with the two talents and he worked and he got it. The third one was like, "You know, I really don't want to mess this up. I don't want to lose this money, so I'm just going to bury it." And then when the master came back and he's like, good job to the first two. And then the last one, he's like, "You know, it would have been better if you just put it in the bank and at least gain some interest off of it." And this can really begin to model the way that we as Christians are. Are we out there? Let me ask you a few questions right now. What have you been doing with the gospel since you believed it? I want you to begin to think about that. You don't have to say it out loud, but what have you been doing with the gospel since you claimed Jesus, since you said that you believed what Jesus has done? Have you gone out there to share it and duplicate it? Have you gone out there and began to share Jesus with others and pray and begin to ask that Jesus would begin to duplicate what happens in your heart into their heart? Or have you buried it deep inside yourself to make sure that you don't mess anything up? You know, that's one of the biggest things that I hear when you ask people if they share Jesus with others. I don't want to mess it up. I don't know if I'm going to have the right words. I don't know enough scripture. I don't have enough memorized. So I'm scared that I'm going to mess it up and I'm going to push them further away from God. It's the same thing that person did with the talent, right? You bury it deep down inside and you never allow it to be duplicated. See, God is calling us to go out into the world, to begin to duplicate ourselves, to duplicate. And you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 11, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So let's go out there in the world and begin to imitate Christ, begin to talk like Jesus, begin to act like Jesus, begin to love like Jesus. And as we begin to imitate him, people are going to be drawn to that because they want something different than what life has to offer. Why do you think so many people are getting into drugs and getting into many different addictions and stuff like that? They're looking for answers. They're looking for something. But they're looking in the wrong places. Have you been living out the gospel to those around you? Not just in a place of sharing it, but are you living it out in your life? Or are you walking around consistently complaining about life? Are you down? Are you always acting like everything is the end of the world? Everything's bad. People don't want that. And that's not a good representation of Jesus. If we believe that we have accepted Jesus into our hearts, that he can fill us with a joy that can begin to overflow, don't we want people to know the joy and the peace of Jesus? There are a lot of pits around and a lot of people are stuck in them. They need to know that there is hope in this world. And being a good steward, being a faithful steward of the gospel is going out there and sharing it. God is the one that knows if we are truly faithful despite whatever we face. And we have to recognize that when we recognize judgment and we have it come against us, we can recognize that God knows what's in our heart. God knows if we are truly being faithful. God knows what's in our heart. God knows as we begin to go out there and share what our intentions are behind the sharing. Is it to say, look how good I am, I know Jesus? Or is it to truly say, I love you and I'm going to be with you no matter what? I want you to know who Jesus is. Sometimes it's really scary when you begin to think about that God knows if we are truly being faithful. If we think about our lives and the way that we carry the gospel, can we truly say that we are faithful? You know, this is heavy. I'm sorry to tell you, it's going to get a lot more heavy by the end. I know I usually like to leave you encouraged and that, but this morning, I don't know if it's going to feel that way at the end. Because when I began to put this together, it was a real reality check for me. And it was hard to type some of the stuff that I'm going to be sharing. 1 Corinthians 4:3 says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. So let me ask you this. Who has the right to judge you in your walk? Who has the right to judge you as a Christian? Who has the right to judge you as a person? What does this say right here? Nobody. Nobody, no human has the right to judge you. Not even yourself. But as I said on the front end, as we go throughout life, we can recognize that everybody's judging everybody. You pretty much can't go throughout a day without somebody judging you for something, judging your driving, judging how you walk in the grocery store, judging how you walk in the mall, judging how you walk down the street or how you look. Everything, every day, we are being judged by somebody. People are always going to judge us as Christians as they feel judged by us, if we're honest, right? People in this world are always going to feel judged by Christians because they think that their life is right. They think everything that they're doing is right within their own eyes. And we'll get to that in a moment. But the truth is, we have to learn and understand that no matter if they feel judged, if we are speaking the truth and telling them the truth and doing it in a way of showing Christ's love for them, that there could be seeds that are planted that could be changing their lives. None of us in this room like to be said we did something we weren't supposed to. All of us get a little flustered, a little angry when somebody tries to correct us, right? I get mad when Tyler says, hey, you need to be doing this, right? Or when my wife says, hey, I don't like the way that you did this. Sometimes I get frustrated. But the truth is, sometimes I need it. So it's not about the fact that, you know, we are judging others, but we want to make sure that they know the love that Jesus has for them and the way that he can bring them out of the life that they're in. But of course, they're going to judge us back. They're going to judge us for the perceptions that they have of Christians. We can look around and we can begin to see the way that Christians are perceived in life. In America, it seems very negative. Other parts of the world, it's very negative. But we cannot be afraid of others judging us. We cannot allow their judgments to disqualify us from doing God's work. I think a lot of the time that we are so scared of people's judgments, we're so scared of what people think about us, or if they know our past life, that they think, hey, that person is disqualified from sharing the gospel because I know this about them. And we're like, yeah, you're right. And we don't do it. I want to share a little story with you guys, something that happened this past week. So Emmy Klein, she texted me earlier this week and sent something that really encouraged me. She said that at Aiden's school, which is her son, that they were going around the classroom and each kid was saying who their hero was. And there was one little kid in the classroom that said, you know, my dad is my hero, but he passed away recently. And as it got to Aiden Klein, they asked him, they said, hey, who's your hero? He goes, before I answer that, can we all pray for this kid? No, hold on a minute. After he asked, every kid in that classroom laughed at him. One got up and walked out of the room laughing, and Aiden still went through with it. And the guidance counselor reached out their hand and joined him in prayer too. If we are worried about the laughter of people laughing at us for what we believe, we're never going to get anywhere. If we are worried about what people think about us, we are always going to be disqualified. I hope that Aiden's story, that it encourages you not to be worried about what other people think. Not to be worried about the laughter, not to be worried about people getting up and walking away and rejecting Jesus. It's their loss. But think about, what if that changes that kid's life? What if that kid that just lost his dad was looking for some encouragement and now he now knows that there's a heavenly father that cares about him? It doesn't matter if the rest of the world laughs at us if we can change the life of one person. That's one more person that gets to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. I was very encouraged by that. And, you know, she sent me another thing this week that I guess there were some guys from the Los Angeles Rams that came out to their school. And after the presentation, he went up and asked them if he could pray with them. And they said yes. See, Aiden is being an agent of change in a school. Can we all do that? Can we be an agent of change where we work, where we go grocery shopping, where we walk around our community? Can we be agents of change just to say a prayer for somebody? I think we can. You know, me and several of the youth were talking this week, and just the idea that the initial ask to pray for somebody is the hardest part. Asking somebody to pray is the hardest part. After that, it's a cakewalk. They either say yes or no. If they say no, okay, just move on about your day. If they say yes, now there's an opportunity. We just got to get beyond that first hurdle that stops us most of the time. And this is the hard part. We can't even judge ourselves to be qualified because ultimately we're not. None of us in this room are qualified, but because of Jesus, we are qualified. So we have no right to be judging ourselves, because if we are the ones judging ourselves, we are always going to disqualify ourselves because we're not qualified. But Jesus living in us, Jesus transforming us, is the thing that makes us qualified to go and share His gospel. Paul is talking about this. I don't even have a right to judge myself. So that's speaking to you. That's speaking to me. That, you know, despite all of the stuff, despite my flaws, despite my sins, despite my struggles, Jesus still has me up here speaking right now. And Jesus has a calling on your life, despite where you have been, despite where you've fallen, despite what you've done, despite the sins that you're struggling with today. He has still called you to get out there and be a messenger for Him. You are not disqualified if you believe in Jesus Christ, because He is the one that qualifies you. It's about Jesus. Jesus wants to qualify other people and say, hey, your life can be changed. You may feel disqualified in life, but there is more to it with me. Stop judging yourself. Stop holding yourself back. Maybe nobody else in life is judging you, which I doubt. But maybe you're the only one, and you're the one that's holding yourself back. Get beyond that first hurdle. Verse 4, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. You know, when I was reading this, I was like, this is really interesting. As I was reading this verse right here, what I felt was put on me is that we should be living unaware of things against ourselves. And that maybe seem kind of weird to say, but when you begin to think about the message of the gospel, I think we can all recognize that yes, we are sinners, yes, we sin, and we should be aware of that aspect of it, but we should not be aware of the judgment that we put on ourselves. We live unaware or free because those judgments are lifted because of Jesus. If we trust in Jesus and know that He has forgiven us of our sins, we should not allow ourselves to be under the weight of that judgment, under the weight of that guilt, under the weight of that sin that we have done, because Jesus can forgive us. We should live in a place that we are acting unaware when we go out to share the gospel. Paul is also talking about the idea of testing himself in this point. saying, checking within himself, you know, what areas do I struggle with? What areas do I have problems with? And he's beginning to look within himself. But the truth is, if we recognize that Jesus has forgiven us, then we don't have to allow our sins to hold us back anymore, to be unaware of that. And if Jesus promises us that we have an eternal life when we come to know Him, that we know that when we go beyond this life, that it's there for us, that we don't have to live in fear of that. We cannot allow the weight of guilt to hold us back from our calling, from His calling. I think besides the aspect of fear of going out there to share the gospel, fear of not having the right wisdom, fear of not having the right thing, the next biggest thing is the guilt that we all experience in life. That is a huge thing that will often and always hold us back until we can recognize that the guilt is not from God. There is a conviction that we experience to recognize that the things that we are doing or the things that we have done are bad, but when we allow the guilt and shame to hold on to us, that is no longer God. That is the enemy trying to hold you back from the calling on your life. We cannot allow guilt and shame to be the thing that destroys the calling on our lives, because that is allowing the enemy to win. To do so is to not accept the sacrifice for His forgiveness. To allow that guilt and shame to weigh us down is to say no thank you to His forgiveness. If we truly believe and accept that He has forgiven us, then we shouldn't be holding it against ourselves either. You know, like I said, we can talk a lot about the judgment of others, and a lot of times we can get beyond that, but the judgment on ourselves is heavy. Because we know ourselves better than anybody else. Psalm 9, 7 and 8. But the Lord sits enthroned, however. He has established His throne for justice, and He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. Does that say people in this world judge us with uprightness? Or does it say that God judges us with His uprightness, with justice? We can recognize that the God of the universe sits on His throne, and His judgment is the only one that should matter to us. Jesus, or God, is the only one that knows everything about our lives. He knows our intentions. He knows everything about us. So therefore, He is the only one that really can judge us. Proverbs 21, 2 through 5. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Haughty or arrogant eyes and a proud heart are the lamp of the wicked, are sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to only poverty. God weighs our hearts in every action that we do, everything that we say. God knows if it's from a righteous or justified place, or if it's from a haughty eyes or an arrogant heart or a prideful heart. God knows the way that we move. God knows the intentions behind everything we do. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows the heart behind everything that we do. Does that make you feel a little heavy this morning? That if God knows your heart in every action that you take, doesn't that make you want to think a little bit more about your intentions and the way that you act towards others or the way that you do things or what the real reasonings behind it? This is the last verse for this morning. Sorry, I'm used to talking to the youth and saying this evening, so my apologies. Not trying to push the day forward. Even though you've already had that today by 1 hour. I know that you're all grumpy because it's just 1 hour. But. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time. Before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Whew. Take a minute to read that again. I want you to understand this. Your judgment will come. But now is not that time. If we allow the judgments of others or ourselves to stop us from sharing the gospel, then we are allowing judgment to come before its time. We are allowing judgment to come into our life before the time comes. We are allowing that to be the thing that dictates our lives. We are allowing that to be the thing that dictates our relationship with Him. When He comes, He will be the one to bring to light the hidden things, the darkness we have, and true intentions of our heart. Yes, that is terrifying. Talk about the fear of the Lord and having a fear of the Lord in your heart. Knowing that someday when your time of judgment comes, that He will bring to light everything that has been hidden, everything that's been in the darkness. Everything, every purpose of your heart will be brought to light. That's terrifying. So in life, we need to recognize that we need to have our hearts aligned with God to live a life of integrity. To live not just with one face here and a different face out there in the world, or a different face when we're by ourselves, but that all align with God's heart. To recognize that all of those things that we've done sometime are going to be brought before us. I want to have my life aligned with God. I want my actions, my intentions, my heart, my mind, my spirit, everything aligned with who God is and what He has called me to be. And that's my desire for each and every one of you in this room. Is that you can be completely aligned with who He is and what He wants for your life. When the time comes for our judgment, God will judge us justly. And we'll get what we deserve. But if we know Jesus Christ, then we know that through Him that we deserve eternal life. But it's because of Jesus. It's a scary thought to think that one day we will stand before Jesus, especially in the fact that there were people in the Bible that said, you know, I went out there, I preached your gospel, I cast out spirits, I did all of these things in your name. He just says, I don't know you. Scary to think that one day we will stand before Him and we will be held accountable for all the things that we did, all the things that we didn't do. So when at the beginning it talked about, you know, we are to be faithful stewards of the gospel. Let this be something as we talk about this and recognizing that we will stand before God. Do we want to be told that we were faithful in life? That we were faithful stewards of His gospel. I want to leave you with this. Until then, we cannot allow anything to stop us from bringing the gospel to this world. We can't allow anything to stop us. And I want to invite the band to come back up. And I'm going to leave you with these takeaways. One, We all belong to God and are created to fulfill His plan. I think that we can all recognize that. That God stitched each and every one of us together, from our personality to who we are, to the things that we have struggled with, to the pains of our past. Through all of those things, God has stitched us together for a purpose. Living as faithful stewards means that we are sharing the wisdom that we have. That's insight, right? It's not about just keeping it in. What good does that do anybody? 3, people are always going to judge us, especially when we make them feel judged. When we are going out there and we're sharing the gospel, make sure that you are doing it in a loving way that represents who God really is. Because there's plenty of false people out there that are trying to represent God that aren't doing it the right way. 4, if we judge ourselves, we will always disqualify ourselves from sharing the gospel. Stop allowing yourself to judge yourself. Stop allowing yourself to be disqualified because of what you think about yourself and your own insecurities. 5, God is the only one with the right to judge us, because He truly knows our hearts and our intentions. And the last one is, don't stop being stewards of the gospel until you are standing face to face with God. As long as you are on this earth, you are called to get out there and be stewards of His gospel. The only reason or the only way that you should ever stop is if you stop breathing and your heart is not moving and you are now standing face to face with Him in heaven. That's when He said, okay, I think you can be done now. So let me pray for us. And, you know, I want to open up maybe the altars here for a little bit. If you just want to come up and kneel before God, or if you want some prayer, just say, man, I've allowed judgments to get in my way. I've allowed judgments to disqualify me. I've allowed judgments to take me out of this thing, and I need to be able to get beyond those. Sometimes those things are going to be holding on until you give it over to God and recognizing that they don't matter. But Father God, I pray right now that You would be with each and every one of us. Lord, that we would not continue to allow ourselves to be disqualified from sharing Your word. That we would not be disqualified from getting out there and being agents of change for You. God, I pray that we could always recognize that we belong to You. Jesus, that we belong to the Creator of the universe, that we belong to a man that sacrificed Himself for each and every one of us, purchasing us with His blood. So God, I pray that we would not continue to allow things in our lives to get in the way of getting out there to sharing Your word. God, that we would stop holding things against ourselves, but God, that we could get to a point where we treat those things unaware, recognizing that You have forgiven us. God, I pray that from this moment on, that we would be able to go into this world with confidence, knowing that You have instilled the gospel within each of us, and Lord, that we have the message that You've given us, and Your Holy Spirit will go before us. God, I pray for everybody in this room that is taking that challenge of who's your one. God, that You would give them opportunities to be able to speak into the lives of that person, to write their name down, to go through devotional and understand Your word and dive further into Your word. But God, thank You for saying that we are Yours. Despite how dirty and crummy we may feel, despite that we don't think that we deserve You, and we don't. But You say, I'll take You. I want You. God, I pray that our perspective on ourselves would change, knowing that we belong to You. In Jesus' name we pray.